First up, and a content warning, the following contains discussion of domestic violence, which may be distressing for some. Over 5,000 voices of lived experience. That's how many spoke up to inform South Australia's first Royal Commission into Domestic, Family and Sexual Violence. The final report, centering largely on those voices, was handed down Tuesday. Commissioner Natasha Stott Despoja told media some of the stories will haunt me and my team forever, while Premier Peter Malinauskas said Voices, an additional report, included some pretty harrowing stories. The 700-page report, With Courage, South Australia's Vision Beyond Violence, includes 4 key pillars and 136 recommendations, sparking hope amongst advocacy organisations that this could offer a pathway to change. Embolden is the peak body for specialist domestic, family and sexual violence services in SA. I spoke with CEO Mary Leaker to hear more.
As a sector, we'll take some time to consider and respond to the Commissioner's recommendations in detail. But absolutely, you know, this report reflects really powerfully the voices of South Australians with lived and living experience of domestic, family and sexual violence. It really does represent a blueprint for transformative change.
In November 2023, 4 women in South Australia lost their lives, allegedly at the hands of their partner, prompting an outpouring of calls for a royal commission into the crisis. Ms. Leaker says that week was termed the worst in the country for domestic violence fatalities.
That week in late 2023, we understood then and understand now that it was the worst week for fatal domestic and family violence ever recorded in any Australian jurisdiction. That moment really galvanised, certainly Embolden and our members, colleagues across the broader social and community services sector and the broader community to really say enough is enough. So we stood together on the steps of Parliament House to call for a Royal Commission. But as I've mentioned publicly previously, Embolden's members had written to the Premier even before that week to call for a Royal Commission and to really highlight the chronic underfunding of our service system and the really critical need for system reform, because we knew that people were falling through the gap.
A key observation and concern is a culture issue that becomes entrenched, or has entrenched rather, certain behavioural perceptions that ultimately enable physical, mental and sexual violence. Do you think the Royal Commission addressed this enough, and do you have hope for systemic change and broader social reform in that regard?
Definitely. I mean, there is a strong focus in the report on, you know, ensuring that we have a community with a really strong understanding of the nature and dynamics of domestic, family and sexual violence. And I think that's important. And there is a strong focus on what we call primary prevention, which is prevention activities that are really designed at a whole of population level. So I think that's really important. Those activities alone won't drive, I think, the significant change that we need to see. And so we're pleased to see the very strong focus alongside that focus on primary prevention, really on system reform.
A number of organisations have welcomed the Royal Commission's report. The Law Society of South Australia said they commend the Commission's investigation, acknowledging recommendations from a justice-based perspective, which include the development of comprehensive domestic, family and sexual violence training for police, the Office of the Director of Public Prosecutions, court staff and judicial officers. The Society also welcomed training to help participants in the justice system recognise patterns of coercive control. Meanwhile, in a media release, Royal Australian and New Zealand College of Psychiatrists, Chair of SA Branch, Dr. Patrick Clark, says all 4 pillars in the report are vital, but they must integrate mental supports at each level to ensure wraparound support for victim survivors, family, carers, support networks, and perpetrators. The College say their submission to the Royal Commission highlighted the significant mental health dimensions of domestic violence that are not being adequately addressed. The Commission received over 380 submissions. Also among these was the August 2024 submission from the South Australian Council of Social Service, who are the peak body for non-government health and community services in SA. While SACOS point out they don't provide frontline crisis services, they acknowledge the Commission's report incorporates many critical issues the community sector has been advocating for several years. SACOS also highlight the report reflects the impacts of the housing crisis and a need for increased services to respond to victim survivors. SACOS CEO Dr. Catherine Earle agrees the report could provide a strong blueprint for change.
We think the Royal Commission's report is very well considered and comprehensive, and we're really pleased that it's bringing together the experiences of thousands of victim survivors and service providers and other important stakeholders. So we think that the report really provides this very good blueprint for the government in going forward and a really comprehensive set of recommendations.
The report acknowledges the impact of the housing crisis and lack of available housing stock. Can you elaborate any further here from a social services position?
So it's really clear that the housing crisis is compounding the issues of domestic and family and sexual violence in our state and contributing to the crisis for victim survivors. People who are experiencing violence sometimes have to stay in very unsafe home environments where they're exposed to violence just because they have no other option other than staying or being forced into homelessness and very inadequate and insecure housing. Most recent data tells us that over 3,500 women and children seek help from homelessness and housing providers in a year. We really support the recommendations in the Royal Commission report around housing. We think they're really practical. The statewide audit of availability of emergency and transitional and crisis accommodation, the maximising use of suitable accommodation for domestic violence victim survivors, and then having a 10-year comprehensive plan for domestic violence accommodation. These are practical recommendations that we hope to see the government endorse very, very quickly.
The Commission acknowledges the state's response system is crisis-driven, fragmented, and often siloed, with structural reform focused on creating a cohesive and effective system. Ms. Leaker also points to the need for an integrated approach.
That is really critical. You know, we have a system where victim survivors, you know, people with lived and living experience report feeling like they're knocking on the wrong door and can't get the help that they need. At a fundamental level, we want to create a system where there is no wrong door, and there are strong recommendations around creating an integrated response model that is place-based. So the idea that, you know, no matter who you are or where you live in South Australia, there's somewhere that you can go where you'll receive a holistic response to your needs. That's something certainly that Embolden and our members have called for, and we're pleased to see those recommendations in the report.
I understand that there were 5,000 harrowing stories of lived experience that informed the Royal Commission, but I also understand that lived experience will help inform solutions moving into the future. How vital is this aspect, and have voices of lived experience been left out for too long, do you think?
This report reflects really powerfully the voices of South Australians with lived and living experience, and that's a key strength of the work that the Commissioner and her team have done. It's evident that they and certainly have intended to, and we think they have listened really deeply to people's stories. And people have shared those stories with great courage and in the hope of change.
The report also highlights issues like definitions around consent or revising definitions around consent and recognising coercive control. And as I understand, South Australia has proposed a bill to criminalise it. Can you elaborate perhaps on the need to address these moving forward?
Absolutely. I'll focus on coercive control. Yes, and we're expecting that South Australia will legislate, will criminalise coercive control quite shortly. That's before Parliament at the moment. We know that for too long our systems haven't been responsive to the lived reality of domestic and family violence, and our systems have responded to it as a series of discrete violent incidences, which is not how women and children and other victim survivors have talked about their experience for decades now. So certainly being able to respond to domestic and family violence and intimate partner violence as a pattern of behaviour over time, which may or may not involve physical violence, is absolutely critical. Look, we welcome the criminalisation of coercive control, but one thing we know from the international experience is that our accompanying that legislation, we need to have systems, including our police service and broader criminal justice system, genuinely understand the dynamics of coercive control and be able to respond to those. Otherwise, we risk letting victim survivors down, and for their experience, victims of the criminal justice system to actually be re-traumatising. So we have some work to do in terms of our preparedness for the criminalisation of coercive control. And again, we're pleased to see the recognition of the work to be done there in through the Commissioner's recommendation.
CEO of Embolden, Mary Leaker, speaking with me. If you or someone you know is struggling with domestic violence, help is available. Call 1-800-RESPECT, that's 1-800-737-732, or 13 YARN, that's 139276.